Hello and welcome to Great Things with Great Tech. This is episode 15. My name is Anthony Spiteri and this podcast is all about highlighting companies doing great things with great tech. And in this episode, talking to Jim Freeman, Head of Solutions at ONAP. Welcome to the show, Jim.
Hiya, thanks.
Excellent stuff. So you're in Ukraine at the moment this morning. This is a bit of a side note.
I am, yeah. It's I'm British, but I spend most of my time in Ukraine nowadays.
Beautiful. Excellent. So just before we dig into ONAP, you know, if you love great things with great tech and you would like to feature on future episodes, you can click on the link in the show notes or go to launch.gtwgt.com and register your interest. All episodes of GTWGT are on YouTube at the channel. Please subscribe if you haven't subscribed. I really want to try and boost those numbers up. It's a good read, good listen to as well. There's all the previous episodes done for 2020 shortly, and 2021 is going to be exciting with a lot more episodes, but also the podcast stations and, you know, listening on Google, Apple and Spotify. Go in there, subscribe to your favorite podcast, and you can catch up with all things great things with great tech. Right, Jim, with that out of the way, let's get on to ONAP. So, you know, ONAP's, actually, before we start, why don't you describe ONAP and what you guys do, and then we'll basically break down into some history.
Yeah, of course. So at its core, ONAP's a cloud management platform. It sits on Zen KVM, VMware. We have a CDN portion as well. We have both on-premise and SaaS versions of it. I think the thing where we're different really is it's not just a way to manage VMs or servers or whatever. We also have quite a big like billing portion, like role-based access control, user management, and it kind of does, you know, it's a one-stop shop, single pane of glass for service providers to build a whole cloud solution, not just a management of VMs or servers.
So. Excellent. So that'll resonate a lot with, you know, with my followers, my sort of sphere of influence here with regards to the tech community, because that's what I love, the service provider community, working in those great service providers. And I know obviously quite a few of you of them out there have actually leveraged ONAP. So that's great. So I think what I wanted to do was just touch into the history, because you guys didn't start from nothing and there was a definite path to getting where you guys are today as a very successful, you know, cloud management platform. So, you know, ONAP began life in 2008 as kind of an internal project at UK2 Group. So what was UK2 Group at the time? Were they a hosting company or what were they doing?
So UK2 Group were probably primarily dedicated servers at the time, but they had a brand called VPS.net, which was purely aimed at VPSs. ONAP was a kind of like the software that powered VPS.net at its core. And yeah, this was kind of its journey when it was in VPS.net.
Yeah, so VPS.net, so that's quite crazy that, you know, this is the link here, because obviously, you know, being around the hosting industry around that time, everyone knew about VPS.net. And, you know, from memory, just a really easy way to get literally like virtual private servers and nothing else. There wasn't concept of virtual data centers back then. It wasn't about resource pools or anything. It was just literally you want to get a particular server, you can get it. And they're still around today, aren't they, effectively?
Yeah. They're owned by, the CEO of ONAP, Ditlev, he owned UK2 Group and VPS.net. It was sold to, it's now been sold to the Hut Group. Mm-hmm. But yeah, they're still around. They're still a customer of ONAP and yeah.
Oh, good stuff. So, I mean, the whole genesis of this, like you said, for VPS.net was to really, you know, give the users a, I guess, AWS-like cloud experience, right? And that's where, you know, ONAP started in its initial code base. So what did it start with? Because, you know, was it VMware at this stage or was it different? What hypervisors was it supporting?
So right at the start, it was purely Zen only. KVM hadn't really got the traction it does today yet. A couple of years later, KVM was added, which is around the time that ONAP spit out. Nowadays, we have VMware and others, but at the time, it was purely kind of like a Zen VPS management platform, and didn't really have, as you said, it was a pure VPS selling business. It was no bells and whistles on top, shall we say?
Yeah. And who were the customers back then in 2008 timeframe? I mean, were you selling to managed service providers? Was it? I'm just really curious. Obviously, I know, you know, back then what we were trying to do at the company I was at the time in terms of shifting from physical to virtual hosting. I think that was kind of an inflection point really for a lot of providers around that 2008, 2010 mark. So, you know, what were the customer types?
So when it was purely kind of an internal project at UK2, but once OnApp split out from, so Ditlev sold UK2, he took the OnApp IP with him and spun it out as a separate company. It was at that time, it was almost purely aimed at hosters or MSPs as basically to give them something that they just hadn't had before. There was nothing really out there that could give someone an easily installable portal that their clients can log into, manage all their stuff without all the everything else that they needed on top. So,
yeah, okay. And then in 2010, that was when the company, I guess, officially launched with the yep. version 2.0 of OnApp. Just talk yep. a little bit around that.
Yeah, so it was spun out after the sale. OnApp became free for a year as it was still in development, really. Okay. You know, although there was a version 2, it doesn't look anything like it does today.
Yeah.
Shall we say? It spun out. It was free for a year while we got clients and everything like that. We built out our support teams, our development teams. Kind of started building on roadmaps what we want to see in the future.
All right, and it's based out of the UK, right? So, and there's also, I believe, investment from LDC, which is the Lloyds Development Capital Group. So, you know, you've got some backing there to basically develop. Typical question I ask a lot of people on the show is, yeah, how many employees were there in that 2010 timeframe?
2010, there's probably under 100 at that point. Here we are, you know, nowadays we have a lot more than that. But
That's still pretty significant, though, right? 100, you know, in 2010 is very significant.
Quite a lot of people actually came from during the sale, right? So when, yeah. when Ditlev sold, there was a good core of people who came with us, or maybe people who had worked before, because you know it wasn't just a spin out of a new product. We obviously had to bring had to build a development team. Once it started being commercialized, we needed a support team, and everything else in between, sales, pre-sales, and everything like that.
Yeah, right. And in terms of those early years, like, you know, what was the penetration into the cloud market? Because at that time, when we think about it, VMware was obviously still up and coming, but still pretty dominant. Microsoft was doing its thing. And, you know, Zen was always kind of the poorer cousin there, really, still back then, yeah, right? Absolutely. So how did you guys kind of succeed with Zen being that, you know, supported platform at the time to get you through to, you know, what was to come?
I think sort of back then, you're right. Like, you know, there was a, you know, maybe a stigma, you know, on the Zen and KVM and the open source ones. But also at that time in 2010, 2011, there was, you know, the hosting industry were, you know, it was very cost focused. There wasn't a huge amount of VMware service providers because, you know, the entry barrier to VMware is significantly higher than buying a dedicated server somewhere and installing Zen on top. So, and obviously with OnApp being, you know, free for this first year, it really gave people the ability to do what they would have needed to go and type in 100 lines on a command line to do before. And this was always the goal, to make building a cloud easy. So anyone can do it. And this is what we've stuck with the whole time is, you know, an intuitive UI to do everything. And there's no command line stuff or anything like that needed.
Right. Okay. So you mentioned an interesting thing there about making cloud easy. And that was the whole reason these sort of platforms come into play. I mean, obviously, you know, I remember that 2010 timeframe when I was at my previous to last company, and we were so focused on, you know, making something easier for our customers, for our partners to be able to consume what was a VMware environment there. And, you know, looking at different platforms as well as part of that, do we offer Zen? Do we offer Hyper-V? Do we offer VMware? But then how do we bring it all together? So yeah, having that overarching cloud platform that can do multiple platforms underneath the surface and present them as just a checkbox option was very important. That leads itself into, you know, the manageability as well of creating that initial VPS, because back then I think still VPSs were the way to go. Was that a focus of OnApp to start with, just to, you know, have that? Is it obviously easily installable and deployable, because that's important, and that's one of the things that I found with these systems is sometimes to go through so many hoops to be able to install them and get them working, and then they wouldn't work. So what was ONAP's success back there around its design and flexibility?
It was, as you said, like, you know, super easy to install, super easy to manage. I mean, you know, I always use this thing about how my mom could use ONAP, and yeah. I don't know really how true that is, but it is super simple. And we have people who don't have, you know, a humongous amount of cloud experience who can come in. ONAP does, you know, installs in general for clients, but even after that, it's very intuitive to whether you're creating a user or a group or you know, a billing resource and everything like that. So yeah. This has kind of been our push, you know, to make business accessible to more people, because, you know, I remember when I was, you know, in 2008, somewhere around there when I was doing this, and it was all manual. Yeah. You know, you'd have to, you know, you rent a dedicated server from somewhere, and then you install Xen and build it all there, all through the command line. So it wasn't simple back then. And this was a big goal, is to always make it easy.
Yeah. Okay. So in 2012 timeframe, you had a Dell partnership that was announced. So ONAP version 3 and then a Dell partnership. So just talk us through what that meant. What was the Dell partnership?
So we had it was kind of like a hardware fulfillment partnership with Dell. So this was actually with ONAP version 3 in 2012 as well. This was the first iteration of our vCenter integration. It was okay. it was very, very basic back then. It's actually been rebuilt nowadays, but yep. this was kind of in partnership with Dell as well, because they're obviously big VMware partners.
Yeah.
But the main thing with our Dell partnership was partnering with them from a hardware perspective, and a few of our customers from like a data center perspective, and offering, you know, cloud in a box, you know, type solutions where Dell would actually do the installation of ONAP in their offices in Ireland, and then ship it straight to the data center, and then someone who buys it through ONAP still, they can have a cloud up and running in a data center of their choice in, you know, in a matter of weeks. So.
Okay. And I'm starting to get a bit of a theme here, a bit of foreshadowing to, you know, some of the deals that you guys have made and the partnerships in the future, right? But so that tells me that, you know, the founders were very focused on a particular way to build the company, right? So yeah, Ditlev and Carlos, I think as well, the founders, you know, they were focused on these partnerships, and that's a great way to seed a company. And it's still important today, right? And we'll talk about the VMware partnership shortly, but yeah, is that kind of on the ball in terms of where the
company is? Yeah. I mean, like back in 2010, when it was first launched, there's only a finite amount of people in the world who knew about ONAP back then. And, and because of that, getting in partnerships with Dell and Intel and VMware later on was really important for us, because it goes from a kind of a household name in the hosting industry to something that is a little bit more accessible. So
yeah, okay. So now moving into sort of 2012 to 2016, these are what I call the dark years of vCloud Director. In terms of, you know, that was obviously de facto. I've talked about this on the show before with regards to how, you know, VMware kind of weren't sure where they were going with vCloud Director. They purchased a couple of other and acquired a couple of other companies that did dynamic ops, and that led to VRAR and that sort of thing. So this is where I believe, you know, you guys effectively saw a opportunity in the market to basically go and sort of, I wouldn't say attack, but basically go and approach all the VMware cloud providers that had vCloud Director and the uncertainty there. And that led into the 2016 release, which included support for vCloud Director. So I do just want to talk about that.
Yeah, we started betaing this back in 2015, which was around as soon as they announced that, you know, VCD will be going API only. And we were actually initially approached by VMware, by someone who later joined ONAP to run our kind of VMware business unit, to actually build a front end, because they, you know, we knew in advance what the plans were to kind of, you know, discontinue the front end, and obviously ONAP plus other vendors were kind of brought in to present, you know, what we can do. And I remember very well, you know, it was a very hard 6 months of development and pushing this out with a, you know, kind of a small subset team in ONAP who was focused on this. I remember going to Reston in the US one late Sunday evening to present Monday morning what we built over the last 6 months. And again, it looks super different to what it does today, but this was a, you know, this was effectively just, you know, an RFP just to see what you guys can do. And we did pretty well out of it. And, you know,
just to clarify, this was, because this is when I basically became aware of you guys fundamentally, right? And when I was still at Zettagrid, working as that, you know, owner of the cloud platform, looking at which direction we go, obviously liking vCloud Director. But I remember you guys basically almost sort of became the de facto option for non vCloud Director installs. And that was actually through, you could purchase ONAP through the VMware point system as well, couldn't you?
Yeah, we were one of the first providers or third party providers to ever be, you know, purchasable through, you know, VCPP, VCAN, to do this. And it's been really effective for us because, you know, onboarding a new vendor is sometimes not the most straightforward thing for bigger guys. And when all the transactions still goes through VMware and their aggregator, and whereas ONAP is just an add-on, it's an add-on service on top of what they're already paying for VCD and all other VMware services. So it became really, and this was what the RFP we did was for, was to become in their catalog and be purchasable via.
Yeah. So now we're talking what four years later. So are you guys still in that system? Are you still on the points list? Or?
Yeah. VMware have made some changes to the catalog lately. You know, mainly to kind of push to make it more to give the aggregators more skin in the game. And we're still on there. We still sell through when we can. Obviously, some people do. You know, we still sell direct as well.
Yeah.
So there are different options, but it's just, you know, whatever method they want to go, we can support, and we've been in the catalog since then.
How do you sit side by side with vCloud Director or Cloud Director as it is now? Because obviously Cloud Director itself now has got quite a strong portal itself, quite a strong subset of APIs. So what do you guys add in addition to that with Cloud Director?
Don't get me wrong, it was a lot easier back in 2016 to kind of push this. And VMware have done a great job on the front end and the UI part of things. And there have been times where we've been a little bit worried about it.
Yeah,
but
true.
But we still have this strong like footing of the billing integrations, of, you know, managed services, so on the billing front, it's something that VMware don't do, and also the multi-cloud. And I know this is not what VMware would push themselves, but you know, our initial goal with this was to kind of bring in hosters and MSPs who can have, like, you know, entry level services through KVM or Xen, and then, you know, higher tier services on VMware. You know, it's just a single pane of glass, whether you're managing vCenter, vCloud, KVM, and your end customer would log in, be able to build a KVM VM, a Cloud Director VM here, and all of that. So that was kind of a goal.
Yeah. So you're kind of talking about cloud federation there, right? Like in terms of federating different platforms, bringing it under one UI, and then giving the customer or the partner the flexibility of choice to deploy where they want, basically.
Yeah, I mean, so ONAP has its own, we call it the Federation, and I remember this was actually launched for the, you know, kind of the day I joined ONAP, all the PR went out on it, and I was a bit confused at the time, like, you know, Federation is a pretty, you know, vague word, but what we did there was we allowed the hundreds of ONAP clients at the time to basically resell their spare capacity on a central marketplace.
Okay.
So any ONAP client that had, you know, let's say they had a cluster of eight KVM servers sitting in a data center in London or Paris or Amsterdam, you know, they can put them on a centralized market that is hosted by ONAP.
Okay.
Other ONAP customers can subscribe to their locations for like a fixed fee based on different kind of tiers of zones. That obviously depends on if you have like high availability, if you have software-defined networking and all of this stuff. But you fall into a certain tier. And this is still about today. It's a really, you know, it's a really cool, you know, thing we have that allows, you know, and it's, we have a whole product around it because there are people who don't want to go and spend, you know, tens, potentially hundreds of thousands of dollars on servers, storage appliances, network appliances. You know, today I can go to OnApp, I can sign up as a customer without any hardware at all, and all I can do is buy from, you know, all of the OnApp clients that are on this federation. And we cover, you know, almost every region in the world. I think we're a little bit light in Africa, but every other region we have a really strong presence in the, you know, in the main areas, at least, especially in Europe and the US. It's, you know,
okay.
And all of these are existing on app customers. It doesn't cost them anything to do it. They just, you know, it's just the system we built, which is just an aggregator to automatically allow people to subscribe to other people's zones.
So just to tap into that a little bit. So this is basically me as a reseller or a customer would log into the on app portal. I then select Federation as a product, and then basically I can then buy resources effectively through the rest of your on-app network cloud providers that have basically signed up to this portal, so to speak.
Yep. Not everyone has to do it. It's obviously, you know, we have some clients who actually who pay their on-app license fee through the money that they're getting paid by other people subscribing to their resources.
Yeah.
So it's, you know, and it's a big selling point, especially for people in more niche areas. You know, like, you know, Australia is a great example of somewhere where, you know, we have a few clients there, but our federated resources is not super high there. And, you know, any customer who can sign up to OnApp as a client, build out hardware, sell that on the federation, it becomes a real, you know, money-making.
That's amazing, actually. I'm really impressed. I didn't actually know about that. That's an awesome differentiator in terms of what you guys offer, you know. So, yeah, it adds to some real meat in terms of the service and your value add, that's for sure. You've talked about resellers, you've talked about the product being, you know, effectively there as a SaaS product, but you guys have also got a managed services product. So just maybe talk a little bit about that and where that's going.
Yeah, I guess last year we launched a product called CPaaS, which is Cloud Platform as a Service. And what this is, we've partnered with data center vendors around the world who can provide us hardware so we can build a cloud. So we have an automated system that you can sign up on cloud.net. You can build basically a cloud based on where you want it to be. And we use AWS for hosting control panels. And we have a Terraform system.
Love a bit of Terraform. I love that. That's good. Awesome.
Yep. So we build all of this, and it's just a way that, you know, we do all the monitoring and metering and everything as well. So there's no, you know, this allows you to build a cloud platform and have this now, whereas before in 2010, we were doing this without needing, you know, all the expertise to do it. Now we're doing it without the hardware and you know, the actual management of it as well. So,
okay. Yeah. So you're basically giving potential managed service providers who maybe don't have the capability or the desire to spend money on that hardware to actually run a cloud and actually generate some revenue off it. So that's pretty strong as well.
Yeah. One of our biggest things here has been at like people like telcos who already have like a demand for this, or it's a really a simple add-on service that everyone's looking on. You know, if you just sell IPs or networks or whatever nowadays, maybe you want to find something else to add on to your customers. So to kind of link them together. And this was kind of one of our big pushes there that allows them not to need to go out and spend a bunch of money on hardware and staff to manage it. You know, we have a support team that's already there dealing with all of our, you know, software customers. So they manage it all and everything like that. So
good stuff. And also you guys have a bunch of plugins as well. So you support different backup vendors, you know, so, and that obviously will grow as well in the future. I mean, is that kind of the idea, is to continue to expand not only the platforms you support, the clouds that you support, but also then the subsidiary services as well, like the backup products?
Well, I always remember this really well because I was at VMworld in 2016, and probably this was our big first VMworld where we had a really good product to show on the VMware side. And while this applies to KVM as well, this is where it really resonated, is that we had probably 10 or 15 people come to our booth and ask, you know, oh, what do you do about backups? And at the time, the answer was nothing really. But everyone came over with a different vendor. And it's it will take us forever to build an integration into every vendor that everyone wants. And so a couple of years later, we realized we need to do something about this and not building every single vendor. So we actually built a kind of like a plugin system that opens up on apps APIs. And now we tie in, you know, so we've built integrations with Veeam, primarily at our VMware side. We have an integration with R1Soft, which is aimed at just our Xen and KVM customers. And we've opened this up for other vendors. So any vendor can come along, build their own integration and offer it like that. You know, something that happened with Acronis. So Acronis came to us because they had so many requests from our KVM customers. So they actually built their own plugin for it. And all of our APIs are open. It's all online, and you know, we'd really like to get more people on.
Kind of put the impetus on the vendor to basically plug into your system, which is great, and then that benefits all of your customers at the same time. What about obviously, you know, app modernization is big at the moment. I've talked a lot about, you know, that over the last couple of episodes with Kubernetes and whatnot and storage. But what's your future there in terms of supporting those containerization platforms? Is it something that you're looking at?
Yeah, it's definitely something we're looking at. So we built a container system a couple of years ago. It was built on CoreOS, which unfortunately went end of life early in the year.
Yeah.
We actually opted not to build on that anymore and kind of, you know, take a step back and go back to the drawing board, because over the last couple of years, you know, Kubernetes has become a lot more prevalent out there. So it is currently in kind of like design stages and see exactly how we want to do it. But there's tons of like integrations out there that we're looking into. You know, Kubernetes is a big focus for us on how we deal with our infrastructure as well. So, you know, today our standard on-app control panel installation is an RPM that you download from the internet. Whereas we want to build, you know, we're currently our internal teams are testing building a Kubernetes cluster instead, where everything can be done.
Oh, you're doing it yourself, right? Yeah, okay. That's
interesting. Yeah, it makes sense. So hopefully in the future, all of our on-app control panels and customers will run a Kubernetes cluster, which gives the advantages of high availability and everything like that.
Yeah, portability. It's great.
Yeah.
That's what Kubernetes and containerization does at that point. All right. So just starting to wrap up a little bit. So how did you disrupt the market initially? What did ONAP do to basically become successful and disrupt that market?
I think a lot of what it was having these, you know, multiple options of hypervisors with, you know, KVM and Xen, VMware. You know, we had in 2011, we acquired a company called Aflexi, which is a CDN company.
Okay.
And we integrated all of that into our UI. So not only can people start selling VPSs, cloud servers, but also CDN resources as well. And this is quite a heavy part of our product now. Fully integrated, we have a ton of customers who sell both. It just makes it a lot easier when end clients can log into one portal and do that from there. How we've as you move to like VMware and things like that, it's it kind of helped us with the initial Cloud Director API stuff. But as it went on, we kind of built a lot of tools that VMware didn't have at the time. And we have something called orchestration models that is very much like VDC templates in Cloud Director. But we kind of built it without any of their APIs, just because we wanted a really quick, easy way for the Cloud Director customers to come and onboard a client. Because, you know, doing it in Cloud Director is, you know, create a resource pool, create VDC, create organization, create users. And we just wanted one wizard to kind of do that. And by adding all of these things in, that just makes it easier to sell resources or onboard people, really, really helped us kind of move there. I think, you know, something we did a couple of years ago is we released a product called Accelerator, which is, you know, a bit vague, I know, but because we have this CDN federation, but all these POPs we have, customer POPs we have around the world. So we built this technology that basically allows you to automatically accelerate, you know, files, web pages, scripts, images. It automatically optimizes, compresses, and distributes them all around the cloud. So all around all of our CDN POPs. So this allows any kind of on-app customer without changing, you know, actual code, like, you know, where the images are being looked up from, any VM that is accelerated on app, all the appropriate content will be automatically accelerated around the world. So that's something really cool and very unique.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't actually know that. So yeah, that's you know, a massive differentiator. And you know, for a service provider, a managed service provider, even a service provider looking to offer some sort of differentiating service as well, that's huge, right? So I'm really actually quite interested in that. I myself might dig into that a little bit later on.
It's really interesting.
Yeah, so that's obviously how you disrupted the market, and it's pretty clear. Like, I think you guys came in, from my perspective, offered something different, started with Zen. That was different. That was a differentiator. You set your scene. You then partnered with the right people to basically, you know, from Dell to VMware. That was disruption. You got onto that to the VC or the vCloud Director price list and went through points. That was disruptive. You got I reckon ONAP has a history of disruption, and it's obviously quite easy to see why you guys are quite successful. I mean, how many customers and partners do you have now? What sort of cloud? How many clouds? What's the number?
So we have 5,000 plus deployments of ONAP. Obviously, we have some clients who have multiple, you know, our largest customers have, you know, 20, 30, you know, clusters of whole clouds. So
significant.
And obviously there are customers with just one, but you know, in general we have around 5,000 deployments worldwide. I think we're in 93 different countries.
Wow.
The last marketing stats. So and it really helps with stuff like the Federation and the CDN, you know. It's not always possible to go and get a POP in from another vendor in a very niche country. So it allows you to do these and build these services to sell in these other countries. But
so final question is, how do you continue to internally disrupt yourselves and continue to innovate?
So I think with something like VMware, for example, is you know, we kind of get direction from VMware, you know, whereas, you know, years ago when we first did our Cloud Director integration, everyone was using, was it VCNS back then or what it was?
B-Shields. Still good, by the way, still top. Yeah. In terms of ease of use and what they did, they were amazing, believe me.
And then obviously NSX came along, which is a great tool, but kind of, you know, we almost got forced into building it, which was a great thing, because it was you know, last year at VMworld it was our biggest request from every single customer.
So this is NSXT, right?
So we first built NSXV. Took a little bit longer than we wanted to get out, and now we're already, you know, we're due to release NSX, our first NSXT integration early next year.
Oh, right, cool.
So, you know,
because that's cool, because I think what I'm seeing of late, especially with around the latest vCloud Director release and some of the acquisitions and the way that VMware's positioning, how you would do a load balancer, like basically replace that really awesome vShield, it's still complex at the back end. So if you guys can make that easier, I think that'll be a great feather in your cap.
This is basically what we try. Like we've built a whole like UI kit. When we redid our UI last year, and we got a whole UI kit so we can build these VMware has their own UI kit and way that they do their file service, VPN services, etc. Whereas we've kind of done our own thing as well, and tried to find some of the problems that we found with VMware's UI and kind of make it simple. I mean, one like crazy example is when adding like a source or destination IP into a firewall rule, we've kind of done a lookup of all the VMs they have, all of the networks that they have available in ONAP, and all this just a click of a button, put it in rather than having to type it out. So
little things like that which improve the simplicity, and you know, I think that's pretty amazing. Awesome. Well, it sounds like you guys have got some great stuff happening. I love the idea of, you know, you guys moving to a Kubernetes platform to distribute your software through Kubernetes, because I think that will open that up naturally as well. I've talked a bit about that in previous shows, how just touching Kubernetes for a lot of providers and distributing their own platform through Kubernetes opens up the use case for everybody in service provider land. So that's awesome. it sounds like you're doing some great stuff still around VMware, and that federation, I think, is such a massive differentiator. So great stuff.
A couple of years ago, one of our biggest requests was, do I have to use vCloud Director? And so we actually started building a vCenter integration as well that we released in 2018. And it's our fastest growing product now.
Wow.
So it's very popular, from service providers and internal service providers and everything, really, because, for people who want to do internal billing or cross-charging, stuff like that, it makes it very easy. Doesn't have the same APIs VCD has, but so it's a bit tougher. But
to that point, you're filling that niche, right? Absolutely. A spot in the market and you've gone for it as well. So that's awesome. All right, no worries. Well, Jim, I think we're going to start to wrap up a little bit. We could talk for a lot longer on all the goodness here. But so just as a reminder, I'll put the show notes up for ONAP. Jim will probably release and put some notes up about some of your services or products, any specials that you've got. I'm, again, interested in the federation. I don't know why I'm going back to that, but I think that's awesome. So the show notes will be there. You can find me at Anthony Spiteri on Twitter and GTW GT Podcast and Twitter as well. We've got the website up, gtwgt.com. And as a final reminder, if you're not subscribed or you're new to the show and you would like to hear more episodes, please subscribe to YouTube or to the podcast stations of your choice. And with that, thank you, Jim. Thank you, ONAP. And we will see you next time.